Come on, good morning, Transformation Church. All over the world, why don't you just give God a shout of praise? Oh no, at your house, come on right now. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting something great from God today. Somebody just say, I'm expecting. No, say it like you mean it. Say, I'm expecting something great from God. The one thing that I've realized in my entire life is that when you don't have an expectation for something, you usually don't get the most out of what's happening. So what I'm asking you to do right now is I'm asking you to raise your expectation. I know some of you have had the hardest week of your life. I know that some of you have lost people. Some of you are just done with the election stuff. Some of y'all done waited in the line for 3.5 hours and you done. Like some of you, there's a child that's making wrong decisions and you don't know how to reach out to them. That was your baby and you don't know how to connect with them. For others of you, there's been an emptiness on the inside of you that you've been trying to figure out how to feel, and you tried food and you tried sex and you tried alcohol and you tried binge watching stuff and nothing has been able to fill you. You made it to church today. And what I'm wanting to let you know is that at this moment, let's not let the next 45 minutes to an hour be trying to get an expectation. Let's right now set an expectation. Could you lift your hands all over the world, all in this room right now? And I wanna pray for you that an expectation would rise on the inside of you. Holy Spirit, we're calling on you. Father, you know everything that's happened today. You know everything that's happened this week. You know everything that's happened this year. Right now, Father God, as we sang before, we are putting our trust in you. And Father God, I thank you that you are our help. And right now we're saying we need your help. Father, raise the level of our expectation. Father, let this not be an entertaining word. Let this be a transformative word. Let this word go into the deep places of our heart, our mind, our emotions, Father God, and transform us from the inside out. I pray for every person that feels too far, that feels like they messed up too bad. For every person that feels, Father, like they've crossed the line of your grace. Father, you said where sin abound, that much more disgrace abound. Father, you're chasing us down and you're telling us that you love us. And today, Father, I thank you that we wouldn't work to receive from you, but that we would sit and receive from you. You've prepared something. You have spoken to me, God, for your people. And today, God, I'm surrendered. And I thank you that everybody listening surrendered. Today, we raise our expectation. Somebody say, I raise my expectation. I want what you want, God. Come on, say it. I want what you want, God. Blow my mind, God. Change my heart, God. Transform my life, God. If you believe it, why don't you give God a shout of praise? I said, if you believe it, why don't you give God a shout of praise? Hallelujah. Hey. Yo, I am pumped to be able to preach today. And I got to be honest with you. When you come into this thing, like I preach every week. And there's different weeks where everything works out in preparation. And I'm feeling all good on Wednesday about the message. And I know exactly what I'm gonna preach. This one right here came yesterday in the airplane. I wanna tell you that sometimes God makes me trust him up to the point that I get up here. Because he says, Michael, I want you to realize this ain't you. This ain't your smarts, this ain't your study. What's about to happen today is all God. Somebody say all God. And I think that it's the perfect way for us to go into this next level of forgiveness. Y'all made it to week 6 of Forgiveness University. Somebody shout at me, F you. Don't let your neighbors at your apartment hear you saying that. You're okay, all right? Forgiveness University, and we've been in this series, and we're believing God that over this time period, that you will be able to transform your life because you learn how to, everybody say forgive. I know that's a cuss word for a whole bunch of people, but what God told me, he said, Michael, in this day and age where there's so many reasons to be offended, so many things that have happened to us. I mean, y'all know that the election is this Tuesday, right? Okay, this Tuesday. And what you're going to see after you get off of this live stream, for no matter how long this lasts, there will be a reason, no matter what side you own, no matter if it's a donkey or an elephant, no matter if it's red or blue, no matter if you're black or white, there will be a reason to be offended right in front of you. And what I want you to understand, that this offense is a ploy of the enemy to ravage you of the destiny that God has for you. How can you reach somebody you're pissed at? Can I go straight for it today? How can you minister to somebody that you don't even want to be in the same room with? How can you reach out and touch and help and heal a group of people that you are so hurt and offended by that God can't even use you? Your heart is closed, so your hand will be closed. But if your heart is open, then your hand will be open. And I believe my Bible says that we are the hands and feet of Jesus on this earth. So there's a higher authority that we have to live by as believers. There's something bigger than political. It's called kingdom. There's something bigger than race. It's called kingdom. And God's saying, as it is in my kingdom, I want it here on earth. And we sing the songs, but don't live the life. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. On earth, with all of the mess, as it already is, where? In heaven. Y'all, if we're going to allow this to be our reality, we have to, everybody say forgive. So today I want to help you forgive. You know, I thought about it like this time last year, we were in a 20-week series on Crazy Faith. How many people love the Crazy Faith series? Okay. Like, what was your favorite in the chat? I need you to tell me, what was your favorite? Crazy, maybe, baby, wavy. What's some other ones? Hazy, lazy, fugazi. I don't remember all of them, but there was a lot of them, okay? And what I thought about when I was preparing for this message, he said, Michael, people want crazy faith for things. He said, they don't want crazy faith for change. They would rather a car than actually be able to care. They would rather a car than actually be able to care for the people that are in their life that have offended them. They would rather a house than healing. They will believe and give in crazy faith for their tuition to be paid off. You have a better chance, some of y'all, of believing God for $150,000 of your tuition being paid off, and you would never ever think about forgiving your mother. You want forgiveness for things, but you don't want forgiveness for change. And God began to tell me, they want crazy faith. They want crazy faith. Forgiveness is what crazy faith is for. Write this down. It takes crazy faith to forgive. It takes crazy. The situation some of y'all came from, the people who offended y'all, some of the things that have happened to you, for you to forgive, you need, somebody say, crazy faith. And you would rather believe for a vacation home than the humility to go back and say, I'm sorry. When you talk about faith, it's gonna take faith for me to forgive that person who shouted out that racial slur to me on my own property. Y'all want to be fake today? No, it's going to take faith because I want revenge and I want to see it repaid and I want to see them. God says, do you trust me or do you trust you? Faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. You're not going to see this one. I'm going to handle this. But do you trust me? Do you believe me? And I just wanted to come and help somebody who thinks that this series isn't as spiritual as you want it to be. This may be the most spiritual series you've ever been in. Because for you to actually change from the inside out, it's not gonna take facts, it's gonna take faith. And we started the beginning of this year talking about the word for this year is what? Stronger. And I thought about this, Charles. When you preached that message a few weeks back and you talked about finishing strong, And in 2020, we got 2 months left. Today is November 1st, and we got 60 days to finish strong, and we're going to start this thing and all this other stuff. And God says, I want you to change the word strong, Michael, because it takes strength to forgive. It takes strength to, the strongest thing that you may do this year is forgive somebody who won't even say and acknowledge your forgiveness. Do you know how strong you have to be? How meek, strength under control you have to be to have evidence piled up against them and still say, I forgive you? You're a beast. When you walk in that level of strength, you are a beast. And that's not strength that comes from wanting to do well. That's strength that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's strength that does not come from me making a to-do list. That's strength that comes from a place when we say, all of my help comes from you, God. That's the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. And for you, the strongest thing you could do this year is not go to Christmas and fake. The strongest thing you could do is not make up your Thanksgiving speech around the table and act like it's all good. If you want to finish 2020 strong, the year already been hell. You might as well blow the whole thing up. You might as well go ahead and hit the detonator and say, if we're going to really get stronger, we might as well forgive. What if I told you, you don't just need to finish strong, but I said you need to finish forgiving? I just said the same thing. Because strength, it takes that to forgive. Finish strong, finish forgiving. So today, in week 6, God said, they're going to need help doing that, P. Mike. So I need you to listen to me while you're at 30,000 feet. And I'm telling you, I wrote all of this stuff down in my cell phone. And God began to give it to me. And it was just like a picture. Does anybody remember going to high school or college? Because this is a place of higher education. This is going to give you a master's degree that will change your destiny. this is what this is. Does anybody remember chemistry class? Can I make a confession? I hated chemistry. All of the elements and the periodic table and all of the colors and the zinc and the, that's all I remember. And the oxygen and the this and that and all the little numbers and letters. But what I found out is all of those elements help you discover other things. And when it comes to our unforgiveness, we don't know the elements that go with what we're feeling and how we're acting and why we're hurting. And today God gave me something that I really do believe, when I saw it, it changed my picture of what forgiveness was and helped me identify where I was at with different people and in different situations. And today I want to give you this picture that changes your life, because God says, Michael, what I need them to do is to start framing their unforgiveness. I said, framing your unforgiveness. He said, yeah, people have their frame on the wrong situation. And I said, okay, God, you're going to have to explain this to me a little more. And I got this deep impression in my heart where he said, Michael, what's the purpose of a frame? And I started thinking about pictures on walls and all this other stuff. And I said, well, the frame is to make the picture look good. He said, that's a basic definition. He said, but what a frame does is it tells you what you need to focus on. When you put a frame around something, it tells you where and what you need to focus on. And so I begin to look at his word, and I'm gonna build this whole thing out. Go to Luke 23, 34. Now I wanna paint this picture. Think about framing unforgiveness, and I want you to see our Savior, our Lord, our example, in the worst situation that's ever happened to him and the words that he has the audacity to say. Jesus now is in front of Pilate and in front of all of these people, and he literally gets accused for doing nothing. They're literally having an argument about, why would we crucify him? What did he do? And the people on the outside who were cheering for him yesterday are now saying, crucify him, give us Barabbas, the one who's actually guilty. give us him and you crucify Jesus. And the leadership failed to peer pressure. They begin to crucify Jesus. He's flogged. He's embarrassed. He's bruised. He's beaten. They hang him on a cross. And he's hanging on a cross between two thieves. And look what our Lord and Savior, you talk about forgiving being a strength. You talking about literally you did nothing wrong and every offense that the whole world would commit is now on your shoulders? If anybody had an excuse not to forgive, it was Jesus. Look what he says in Luke 23, 34. Jesus said to God, Father, forgive them. If I was Gabriel and Michael in heaven, I'd be like, what did he just say? No. He couldn't have meant forgive them. No, that's our dog down there. Like that, I thought this is when he was going to do that suplex mode that he showed us before he was sent down there. He was like, if I ever go down there, then I'm like, ah, I am Jesus, and I'm going to do something. Hold on. He has all the power, all the strength, all the evidence. He could literally show them an HD TV in the Bible times because he know everything and hit them with movie and blow their mind right now and show them every offense they ever did. Like, think about this. But he decides to have strength under control and he says these words, Father, forgive them. The next part of it messes me up every time. For they don't know. They don't know what they're doing. I got stuck on this part of the scripture, Charles, because what ended up happening is I realized as I kept reading that phrase, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You got to forgive them because they have no idea how that's going to hurt you. They have no idea that that one comment right there is going to be with you for 13 years. They have no idea that when you answer that call, that level of perversion is now going to show up in your children. They have no idea that when they left that church wrong, that was going to be the thing to send the pastor over the edge and he was going to start drinking secretly. And 10 years from now, it was going to come up in a fallen lifestyle. They had no idea. Forgive them. Because they don't even know what they're doing. And when I kept reading that, God said, Michael, stay there this whole service. Because the truth is, if we knew that the offense that we would commit, what it was going to cause and what it was going to cost, you probably would have moved with more caution. Can we be honest? If you knew dating Ricky was going to cause you low self-esteem and cost you 6 years of your life. Come on, let's be honest. If you knew that going to that movie would cost you a purified image of marriage and cause you to go to pornography, you would have moved with more caution. Parents, if you knew letting your kid go over to that cousin's house to spend the night was going to cause your child to be touched illegitimately and cost them y'all's relationship, you would have moved with more caution. Forgive them, because the truth is when we hurt people and when we get hurt, we didn't even know what we was doing. And when I started looking at this, God said, Michael, the reason that people don't know what their words say, what their words will cause, and what their actions do to people is because they've never seen it framed right. Let me give you an illustration. The frame brings focus. Cameraman, come here. Follow me. The frame brings focus. So when I have this frame, I want you to follow wherever I go, okay? The frame brings focus. So when I go here, the frame, you're not looking at anything because when the frame is telling you where to focus, You have to follow what's in the middle of the frame. Come on. Come on, get down there on them J's. Them is nice, ain't they? Follow the frame. Come on, this is the homecoming queen right here. That's Pastor Natalie right there. You see her? She's in the frame. Ah-ha-ha. I miss you, baby. Ah-ha-ha. Ah-ha. The frame tells you what to focus on. When I put the frame here, it gives you a focus on something that's beautiful and something that's red and white. When I put the frame on it, it gives you what you're supposed to look at. Now, right now, when I put the frame, what you looking at? That's out of view. What am I supposed to be looking at right now? When it comes to forgiveness, God's saying, I want to give you the right frame. I want to show you what to be focusing on so that you can see not the things that you just want to see, but the things that will really change you. And what the enemy tries to do is he tries to give you a smaller frame. And he tries to bring you close in so you don't even see really. Come on in closer. Come on in closer. Come on in closer. So the picture gets distorted. And you don't really see, y'all are arguing about something and you're working through something that ain't even the full picture. And God's saying that if you don't get the right frame, if you don't even see the whole picture, I'm preaching to somebody right now. And God's saying a lot of the issues you're dealing with, a lot of the things that are a problem, you can't even see. Come in closer. Get it distorted. Let them see that they don't even get the whole view of what God is trying to do in a situation. Because we have not had the right frame for our unforgiveness. We have been so narrow because we didn't understand the elements of what we were feeling and what happened to us. And so today, because Jesus said they don't know what they're doing, and the truth is we don't know what we're doing, I'm gonna try to give you a picture and a periodic table of sorts to help you understand how to frame the unforgiveness that's in your life. And if maybe you can identify where you're at, then you can learn the solutions of where you're supposed to go and how you're supposed to heal and what's supposed to change in you. So I'm going to take you to school right now because I need you to help me write this point down so that you can understand the framing, because we're about to go to school and I need everybody to turn their thinking caps on. That's what I tell my daughters, okay? Your frame affects your focus. And you can never forgive what you won't focus on. Your frame, I'm gonna go slow because I know this stuff is breaking down things that have stayed up in us for a long time, and I gotta walk you through this, okay? I'm Professor Mike today, okay? Walk with me. Your frame, whatever you're looking at, whatever you're doing, it affects your focus. And you can never forgive what you won't focus on. Everyone is trying to forget, but what if to forgive, you have to remember? Can we be honest? Everything bad that happened to me, I want to forget it. Okay, hands up all over the place. If you're trying to never think about all of the bad things you did and all the bad things that happened to you ever again, and then we start quoting scriptures, and we've got Philippians 3:13. Forget those things that are behind you. I got a question. Is it behind you if it's still affecting you? Is it actually behind you if it affects the way you treat people? Is it actually behind you if it affects the way that you trust people? Is it actually behind you if it affects the way that you love people? All I'm trying to say is maybe this is where we bring the things that are painful, that we don't want to remember. We bring them to the altar of our God. Oh, come to the altar. We always talk about that, but we're not specific about it. What are you bringing to the altar? Issues. No, are we so general when we need a healing? You know, I've been going through some things. Been dealing with some, you know, situations. And God's saying, I was there. The first question that he asked Adam and Eve was, where are you? That was a self-discovery question. He didn't lose Adam and Eve. He was trying to see, did Adam and Eve know where they were?
did they have the right frame? And the problem with most of us is that we need to forgive others. Like, that's what we're going to next week. I tried to go there this week because last week we started forgiving us, and we forgive ourselves, and we looked in the mirrors and we said, I forgive you. And that was so powerful. But now, before we start forgiving Big Mama, before we start forgiving the dad that wasn't there, before we start forgiving the coworker, we got to frame this unforgiveness properly, or we'll go and cause more hurt and more damage and say stuff we don't really mean. What God's trying to say is, hey, can we reframe this real quick? Can we remember the things that we need to focus on? Can we put the frame around your college years? Pastor Mike, don't bring that up. My husband don't even know what I was doing out there. They used to call me Willy Nilly Lily. Oh, y'all, okay, y'all gonna be fake out here? Let's put the frame around your broken childhood, which now perpetuates why you work so hard, because you're not working hard, you're running from. What you're trying to do is high step from the hurt. You're trying to get away from something, and everybody's praising you. Boy, you grinding, you hustling, you doing all this stuff. No, you're actually working out of an empty place, because you won't stop long enough to put the frame around what needs to be healed and focus on it. What do you need God to put the frame around? What area of your life do you need the frame around? What place in your thoughts do you need the frame around? And to stay there long enough for there to be focus on it. You don't ever see people putting pictures up in their house and changing the frame of the picture every 5 minutes. Because they want you to at least focus on that picture for a certain amount of time. And for the healing that you need in your life, for the transformation you need, for the unforgiveness, we got to get the right framing for your unforgiveness. Y'all ready to go to school? I said, y'all ready to go to school? Colossians 3:13, we got to open the textbook. It says, make allowances for each other's, what is that F word? Faults. So what the Bible is saying, that people are going to fault you, and you probably should make allowances for it. Make allowances for your dad's faults, your mom's faults, your boss's faults, everybody around you, your neighbor who's at the apartment complex who keeps calling the landlord about you having friends over the house, and they think you have a puppy and all this other stuff and all of these different things. Them too. Make allowances for others' faults. And then what happens after you make allowance for other people's faults? And forgive. Anyone who offends you, dang, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people in my life. People who fault me and offend me. Ain't that about everybody? At some point, okay? Remember, that didn't I just say, if we're going to focus and we're going to get the frame right, maybe we don't need to forget. Maybe we need to remember. Remember, the Lord forgave you. Remember, he's already extended his grace to you, for you, so you must forgive others. Could you put up my periodic table, please? And I want to start with faults. I think we're going to move this over just a little bit, because I want to make sure they get this whole thing. We're just going to move this over. I want to get the whole thing, okay? Now, when we think about people's faults, I think that every fault falls into one of three categories. And I think that when you figure out what category everything goes into, when you figure out where everything is, it's going to help you be able to deal with it, okay? So watch this. Everybody has a fault, and anything that anybody does to you is going to fall in one of these three. It's either going to be a frustration, a fail, or a flagrant foul. Like, think about any situation that happened to you. The person cutting you off on the highway on your way to work and flipping you off. That was a fault of somebody, but it really falls in the area of frustration. It didn't really do nothing to you, but if you give it enough gas, we can turn this into something. Like, oh, come on, y'all. You were having an okay day, and then they rammed past you and hit you with the bird outside the window. And you was listening to Tasha Cobb break every chain. And now you want to break your foot off in somewhere else. And you know how you fake do it, like you speed up, like you about to do something. Is this just me? As the pastor, speed up like you about to do something. You looking? The look. You looking? And then you roll down the window. You're like, what? You never hear what they're quite saying. And so you got to make sure you give them hand signals. But the truth is about that, that was just frustration. And the crazy thing about frustration is this is where I believe many people spend most of their time dealing with stuff. And this is the lowest level of forgiveness that you have to do. And people don't really dive into the people who failed them and the people who flagrant fouled them. So I'm gonna help walk you through this because there's a process. Anytime there's a fault, I want you to go to the next thing. There are some subsequent things that happen. Thank you, Lord. There's the offense. There's the feeling that you have. There's the result. There's the antidote. There's the answer. And there's the reaction. So let me give you a practical example of this. Let's take that same thing of going to work and somebody flips you off outside of the window. And let's just say, to just spice it up, they happen to be a different race than you and they happen to have a flag of the party that you don't root for on the back of their car, okay? A bumper sticker or something. Let me just make it real for you, okay? Now, the frustration and the offense happen at, watch this, the exchange. At the moment we had an exchange, that's where my offense came in. It doesn't matter where and what happened before it, but you can be offended and frustrated at the moment of exchange. You can be offended and frustrated when somebody posts something, or somebody doesn't like something, or somebody didn't think you was cute, or all of these other things. It's real little and petty stuff, but this stuff becomes real big in our lives. And when you're in frustration, the offense happens at exchange. When somebody fails you, watch this, the offense happens at expectation. Because you only can fail somebody when you were expected to be at a different standard. So what happens many times is parents fail us, bosses fail us, leaders fail us, friends fail us because we had an expectation of them and they did not meet that expectation. So offense happens at the level of expectation. I'm trying to help you. Because I want you to be able to identify where you are at and what's happening in your life. Where are the areas that we need to frame this unforgiveness so we can work on it? When somebody flagrant fouls you, and I want to give everybody an example of a flagrant foul. Will, come here. I need somebody who's strong that can take this. If you've ever been in basketball or ever watched anything, a flagrant foul is when somebody tries to do something intentional to hurt you, okay? Now, Will, you're not gonna hurt me. I gotta keep preaching, okay? Okay? So I want you to act like you're coming up and there's a goal behind me, and I'm gonna show them what a flagrant foul is. Forgive me, F me in advance, okay? All right, here we go. Come, yep. Okay, that. You never know what you're gonna get at Transformation Church, okay? Now, I wasn't even trying to block the shot. I was trying to hurt him. When somebody flagrant fouls your emotions, they weren't trying to help you. They were trying to hurt you. And what happens, where the offense happens when you're in a flagrant foul situation, it happens at exploitation. It's when people are trying to use you. With you wasn't because they wanted to be friends with you. It's because it made them look better to the people they really wanted to be friends with. They exploited you. They wanted to feel love and they knew you were insecure, So they swooed you with no intent of having a relationship with you so they could have sex with you, so they could fill a moment of play. They exploited you. This is what's happening in all of the faults that happen with people. They're either a frustration that happens, the offense happens at exchange, or either they fail you because they didn't meet your expectation, they weren't there, they didn't do what you thought they were going to do, or they committed a flagrant foul which exploited you. And what ends up happening after that, after we are offended, then we have a feeling. And the feeling that comes with frustration is I don't feel like I'm valued. If old boy would have valued my lane and me driving, he wouldn't have flipped me off. And now it's so crazy how the enemy works and makes you get this little bitty frame around something, because that one act of frustration now ruins your whole day. How you doing today? I don't know what's going on today. I was driving in and my makeup didn't act right. And then I was going on the highway, and then this jerk flipped me off. And you come in because the enemy is trying to close the frame in on you. See the offense, get frustrated, stay in that place. And what happens right there is he's trying to convince you that you have no value. But what ends up happening when somebody fails you, these are the elements, your feeling is victimized. When that parent said they were going to be there because your parents were split up, but your dad told you he was going to be there for you. And every birthday he forgot to write and forgot to send a card. And even he may have shown up with presents, but didn't show up with his presence. You grow up, and when they fail you, the feeling is, I'm a victim of this. I didn't ask my mama to do it with him. I didn't ask to be in this situation. I didn't ask to go through this trial. And the enemy tries to keep us in the feeling of victimization. And then when somebody flagrant fouls you, look what happens. You feel violated. Oh, yeah. This is the point that many people get to. When something happened to them that was so perverted or vile or out of the blue, foul or out of the blue, or they never knew why it happened, this is where you go to. And I'm just trying to show you very clearly the lanes of unforgiveness, the lanes that we all fall into. And you can be in all of these at the same time. I can be in frustration with a random person I don't know. I can be in a failed unforgiveness situation with my coworkers, and I can be in a straight flagrant foul situation with my uncle. I'm trying to give you these lanes so you can see, and maybe we can get to a place of healing. Let's go down to the result. Because when somebody faults you, and then there's the offense and the feeling, there's always a result. And this is what I want to tell people, that why we have to move from just being stuck in frustration. Because the result of frustrating faults is usually petty. It's petty. They flip me off. I'm feeling no value, so I'm chasing behind them with my cell phone. Does anybody know somebody that drive a blue Corolla? Because they ain't nobody, and they mama ain't nobody. And then we do all of these things. That's petty. We have side conversation with family members. You know why Becky's not here. You know why she's not here, right? Because she's with Charles. Maybe I should use another name. I've been just saying Charles all the time. Not Charles. She's been with, he said, no, she ain't. She's been with, let's just keep moving. But usually the response of frustration is petty. And this is where 95% of the church is that we get offended or frustrated over small faults and we end in petty. We end in a social media comment. We end in leaving the church and not telling nobody. We end in spreading division or a separate vision because we didn't like the way somebody treated us. We end in all of these things, and God's saying, that is so petty. And I'm going to show you what to do to cure it in a minute, but we got to keep going on. When somebody fails you and fails your expectation and victimizes you, the result is always painful. It's always painful. When somebody fails you, it hurts in a place that you can't see. And this is the hard one because the church so many times doesn't make a place for the pain of people that we can't see. Because I can't heal it in a minute. I can't pray this out of you right now. And what happens with pain is we usually insulate or make a barrier around our pain so nobody can get to it. And this is the very area that I believe God is trying to get some of you to walk in forgiveness in. The most painful area is where he wants to start putting his hand. Oh, I got to keep moving. I got so much to say. The result of a flagrant foul, this one is big right here, is programming. When somebody flagrantly does something to you, it doesn't just hurt, it starts programming your mind. I'm gonna go ahead and give it, okay? Because this is a real life situation that I know with one of my friends. Okay, he went to a friend's house to spend the night. A big cousin was there and started touching him or exploiting him inappropriately. The young man didn't have anybody to talk to because he was violated. When he was violated, it didn't just hurt him. It started programming that maybe he needs to like men. At the moment of the flagrant foul, it exploited him, violated him, but then it started rearranging his thinking. That not this happened to me and I was this was an attack or anything. It was maybe this is who I am. And my question to you is, how many things have happened to you flagrantly that it didn't just hurt you, it started changing who you were? You started believing that you weren't secure anymore. You started believing that you couldn't live without a relationship. It started reprogramming. I'm not called to ministry. Because you failed at your first message and somebody talked about you and they flagrantly fouled you and exploited you and violated you, now the enemy comes into program. I'm trying to help somebody get free. And I know nobody's ever said this before, but this is the thing that begins to take people on routes that they just live with. This is just how I am. This is just what happened to me. But if we can understand it, if we can know what is happening, I believe there can be freedom for you in forgiveness. I gotta keep pushing. The result is either petty if it's frustration, it's painful if somebody failed you, and it's programming. That is so huge. I got to tell a personal story because I need people to get this. When I was younger, I was overweight my entire life, okay? I was overweight. And then when I hit ninth grade, I believe it was, Mom, I started fasting a lot in ninth grade. And I lost a bunch of weight, okay? And what ended up happening was I didn't really work out to lose the weight. I didn't really like do anything. It was a result of like a growth spurt and not eating as much. And then when I got older, I started fluctuating in my weight and I wanted to work out and I'm trying to go. And I've been very upfront with y'all on my journey and different things like that. And right now I got on a Spanx shirt. I'm gonna show y'all. I got on a Spanx shirt because I'm trying to hold it in. Look at me. I don't want this. I don't want it. But there was a young man when I was bigger that came and he made fun of me so bad in front of people. I'm talking about dogged me. And he exploited me in front of people. He used me for a laugh. Remember what exploitation is? It's using somebody else for your gain. And some of you parents are using your kids for a gain. It's funny. No, it's killing them. It's hurting them. It's causing them pain you'll never even deal with. Oh, let me stop. He violated me, and somewhere in my mind was programming that you'll never be able to lose the weight. You can start, but you'll always stop. You'll never, ever, you won't be consistent at that. You can't. And as a 30 almost 4-year-old man, I still fight with the programming of a person I don't even remember their name. And through this series, as I'm talking to you, I realize I gotta forgive him. I'm not preaching a message to you that God's not jacking me up with. We're doing this together. And that programming, I gotta keep going. Okay, that programming. Is this okay? I need you, because Jesus was able to say, forgive them, because they don't know what to do. If that dude would have known what he would have been causing me for 30 years, he might not have done it, but he didn't know what he was doing. But now I have to deal with it. Even if they don't know what they're doing, I still have to deal with it. Even if your parents don't know what they're doing to you, you still have to deal with it. Even if that high school sweetheart did not know they were going to rob you of your confidence, and now you don't fulfill purpose, and now you think everybody's out to get you, and now you think that God maybe doesn't want to use you, you still have to deal with it. And it's not fair, but it's real. So do you want to just keep blaming them that it's not fair, or do you want keys to be able to walk in forgiveness? Okay. The antidote to frustration. After we have a bad exchange and they don't value us and the result I want to give is petty, the antidote, y'all not going to like this one, maturity. There's some stuff, when somebody flip me off now, I laugh. Like, back in the day, it would have been a fight. I would have drove to the next location. They were about to be up, skirt up. What up, dog? That's what it used to happen. Now they don't get that energy because I matured. And this one is really exposing, because there are people that are old in age and immature in action. There are people who speak in tongues and all God hears is a clanging cymbal, because you have no love. You haven't matured to love yet. You don't know what's going on in their life and in their heart. And God's saying, yes, you're frustrated. Yes, you had an exchange. Yes, they didn't value. Yes, you want to be petty, but you need to mature. That's the antidote. That's the thing that automatically interacts or counteracts it. Let me give you some scripture for this, because some of y'all need this. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking, or be, watch this, infants in evil. They're equating evil to immaturity. Don't be evil and immature, but in your thinking, be mature. Body of Christ, it's time for us to let some of the things that are just frustrations, let it go. I mean, cue Elsa. Let it go. Why, when you post that, do you feel like you need to go 13 people down into the comments and write a book to follower for Christ 1339 who has 0 followers? Mature. You know your brother-in-law is gone off that doty. When he comes in and says something about you, you know he's probably inebriated. Why are you responding like this is somebody that can change your destiny? Mature. When your boss comes in and you know all the pressure that they're under and they don't know how to healthily handle it, you've seen it in every area, and then they go off on you, don't take it personal. Let me give them another scripture. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I was petty like a child. I wanted to have an exchange like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, when I became a man, watch this. This is key. I voluntarily gave up childish ways. What this tells me is maturity is a choice. This is just the way I am. You better not cross me like that, because if you ever cross me, you're going to see a side you don't never want to see before. Like, I told my wife when I think I was like 21, and somebody did something crazy out in public, and I was like, Nat, I just lost every desire to fight ever again. Like, it don't make sense for me as a grown man. Why would I want to start fighting somebody? That would be my rage and anger coming out in a way that would take away from the purpose that I believe that God gave me. I'm going to mature beyond this. I don't know what it is for you, but there's something that God's saying, yes, the fault was a frustration. The offense, it happened in some kind of exchange. Yeah, the feeling is like you didn't feel any value, and the result that you wanted to do, or maybe you even did, was petty, but the antidote, the interaction, the thing that you need to do is mature. And I'm begging the body of Christ as we go into election week. Mature. People are going to say stuff that don't even read the Bible and quote it. Only a fool argues with themselves. Mature, like there's certain stuff that it won't get my energy. And God's saying, if you're going to represent me or represent me, there's going to have to be a level of maturity. Somebody say, God, help me mature. I'm going to need your help. But help me mature. This might take a while, but help me mature. That was the most faith-filled thing that some of y'all said all week. Okay, let me keep going. So when somebody fails your expectation, you feel victimized, and you experience pain, the antidote, watch this, is not maturity, it's ministry. You need ministry when you get hurt in a deep way. When somebody fails you, when a parent fails you, when a coworker fails you, when a brother or sister fails you, and that thing goes down past the surface level and it hits that heart, you need ministry. That's why you're supposed to be watching Transformation Church. That's why you need to be in a small group. That's why that God says to confess your sin. Let me just go to the Bible and go to James 5:16. This is why ministry is so important. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other, that you may be healed. It hurts so much. It's so much pain that it needs healing. You never go to the doctor when there's not pain. You don't see the ER filled with people who feel fine. The ER is filled with people who need ministry. They need healing. And what God is saying to you is that if you have been failed, you can't just think that maturity is going to take it away. This is what I hear some people. I'm over that. It doesn't affect me anymore. I'm doing fine. You think just because you got older, you still don't need healing? It happened when you were 5, but it's still affecting you at 65. And it's been so familiar that now you think it's a part of you, but it's an attachment that everybody else sees. It's a growth that's growing off of you. Everybody knows you have an anger issue, and you think it's just a part of you because you thought maturity was going to heal something when somebody failed you. But the only thing that heals you when somebody fails you is ministry. And that's why the Bible says in James 5:14, if there are any sick among you, if there are anybody sick, call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of Jesus. There's healing in ministry. That's why I can't wait till we get back in this building. When I tell y'all, when we come in here, you might want to plan for that Sunday to have nothing else to do the whole day. Because I'm telling you, I'm so ready. I don't know how I'm maybe get a foam hand and touch you in the name of Jesus to be in CDC guidelines. But I'm telling you, ministry will always happen in the house of Jesus Christ. And let me give you another key. Ministry can always happen in your house because I'm not the minister. Who's the minister here? You are. And God said, well, there's two or three of you gathered, that you can call your friends and you can call your coworker and you just say, I'm hurting because they didn't choose me for the job. I'm hurting because they said they were going to be there for me and they weren't there for me. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. Because I put my all into this and they didn't support me. My expectation caused there to be an offense and now I feel like a victim and it's painful. And this is so powerful. These are words you can say. I need ministry. The greatest point and breakthrough in my life is when I admitted there was pain and said, I need ministry. I need some. I can't heal myself in this area. I can't just tough it out. I need somebody to reach out and touch me. And I need ministry. The crazy thing about this is what we try to do is we try to put ministry in the next category. See, when somebody flagrantly fouls us and exploit us and violate us and program us, we don't need ministry. We need a miracle. So the places we need only God to step in, we want to pray for people. Uh-oh. I know some people are, but that hurt, that pain ain't going to get worked out in a 60-second prayer at the altar. That ain't going to happen. And that's the lie that so many times we've sold as the church that then create frustration in people because they'd be like, I keep going to the altar for the same thing. And I sin, and then I come back, and I get prayer, and I feel good for 30 minutes, and then I sin again, and I come back to the altar. And no, baby, somebody flagrantly fouled you. And you've been exploited and violated, and it's changed your programming. You don't just need ministry. We're going to do that. But you need a miracle. You need God to take those images that were placed in your life of abuse and those things that happened to you where you felt neglected and those things that happened to you where you felt unwanted. You need God to come in with his divine hand and pass all the petty stuff and touch the area you don't even know how to identify right now. If I ask you what's wrong, you couldn't tell me because you don't need ministry. You need a miracle. And I thank God that we serve a miracle-working God. A God that still does miracles. He can, in a time of prayer, illuminate to you an area of your life that you forgot about. And show you, this is what I need to touch. And this is how I'm going to heal you. And this is what I'm going to do. You need a miracle. Let me give you a practical example in the word of God. You remember the woman in John 4 that went to the well? And she needed a miracle? And I don't know what happened to her, but somewhere there was a flagrant foul in her life. Because the Bible said that she was with man after man after man after man. And Jesus literally said to her, the man you with right now, he ain't even your husband. And the woman said, you must be a prophet. Read it in the Bible. She was like, oh my God, are you a prophet? Because she had been programmed to think somewhere that a man was going to fulfill and quench the thirst. And she not the only one. She thought somehow being in a relationship with somebody, she tried rich, she tried poor, she tried black, she tried white. She tried everything, and the man she was with right now didn't even have it. And Jesus literally told her, do you want a drink that'll quench your thirst forever? Do you want a miracle? I know you're at this well looking for some water and you're embarrassed because you've been a victim and you came to this well at high noon, the hottest point, but you would rather be in discomfort than let people see where you really are. This is the context of this story. And Jesus offers her a miracle. The same way that I don't know who you are and why you tuned into this today. We are knee deep. This ain't for the people who was trying to figure out if they wanted to be a part of Forgiveness University. This is the AP learning right here. This is for the people who want to go deeper. God is saying to you, is I have a miracle in store for you. If you would bring every flagrant foul to me. This is what I had to do. When I acknowledged that a flagrant foul had happened in my life, when I acknowledged that I flagrantly fouled Pastor Natalie, y'all, I'm open, before we got married. I flagrantly fouled her. I exploited her. I used her in a relationship with her, but still talking to this other girl and sleeping with her and doing all of this stuff, and it violated her. And it started programming her to think that the only way that she could stay in relationship with me is if that we lived in a perverted relationship out of the covenant of God. I know nobody's telling you this because they want to look perfect to you. I don't care if I don't look perfect to you. I want you to progress. And sometimes the only way you can progress is knowing that somebody else has gone through this process. And what happened to me is when I realized this, I needed a miracle. And when I came to God with all my brokenness, and I came to God and said, this is everything I messed up. He said, I got something for you. He said, I don't just want to give you an antidote. I want to give you, everybody say, the answer. Yes, say the answer. And I'm not talking about Allen Iverson. I'm talking about the answer that will change everything. See, when you're in frustration, the answer is what? Patience. See, when you mature, you get patience. You wait for people to change. You're not so quick to beat them down. You know, they don't get it. That's why Jesus could say, forgive them. They don't know. I'm mature enough to realize they don't understand. And patience is a fruit of the Spirit. I can tell you ain't been in the Spirit because you ain't got no patience. I can tell you don't pray because you're ready to cancel culture. Cancel them. You ain't no believer because you would have fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Let me stop. Galatians 5:22, just so they know. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life. Not just patience, but love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All of these different things are the fruit of you being with God. The problem right now is a lot of people have the title of Christian and no fruit. And all I'm telling you is the reason we have to frame all of this forgiveness and unforgiveness properly is because the world needs fruit. They are dying for somebody to actually live this out. So the reason we got to mature is because it gives us patience and we're able to deal with frustration a lot quicker than we have been able to. The reason why many of you can't get into the things that really matter of people who fail you and who have flagrant failure, because you stuck in frustration. You stuck in the petty. And God's saying, no, get with me. And the fruit of that will be patience. Let me tell you what the answer to being failed is. When somebody fails your expectation and victimizes you and you have pain and then you need ministry, then after ministry, you need a P word that don't nobody like, a process. I'm sorry. Like, I'm just trying to tell you, if you want to heal, if you want to be free, the prayer initiates the transformation in your life. But the process solidifies the transformation in your life. And I know I'm making a lot of churches and pastors mad right now. Because you told everybody it was done. Everything's new. Walk out of here free. And then you never see them again? Or the next time you see them, they on the corner? Or the next time you see them, they're doing the exact thing that, because we prayed for them and gave them no process. Why do 10-week series? It's because I'm trying to take you on a process that you can refer back to anytime, that you can get in community and walk through, that you can go. Listen, the process for many of you that you need is counseling. I keep telling y'all. And you know, I've had somebody comment when I put that on this week. They was like, what about praying and believing in the Spirit? And any man to be in Christ, he is a new creation. I got a scripture for you. We acknowledge God in all our ways and he will direct our path. I've never seen a path that doesn't require steps. What path do you go on that does not require? God's going to direct my, not just my one step into deliverance. It's a path. And a path takes a process of steps to be able to get to an intended destination. Your deliverance is steps. It took you 30 years to get into it, and it may take you a few steps to get out of it. Ain't no amens from the church today. The only thing I'm telling you is that when somebody fails you to really get healed and to frame it properly, you need a, everybody say process. Yeah. Me and Pastor Natalie have been in a process. I keep sharing it with you. The crazy thing about this is I've been in counseling all week with my wife. Like all week, 3.5 hours every day. We flown to Colorado. This is the second week in a row. I flew back yesterday. I got home at 9 o'clock at night. Scott took me to my house and then picked me up at 8:30 this morning. I'm coming here to preach to you, and I'm gonna get on a plane at 7 a.m. in the morning, and I'm gonna go back to Colorado to go through a process. And I know some of y'all don't think it take all of that. I promise you, I don't care what you think. I'm going to be free. I promise you, I don't care. But as for me and my house, we're not going to be stuck in this. We're going to walk out the process from when people failed us, when we failed ourselves, when we fouled people, when we did everything. We are going to be free. And I'm trying to model it so that you can have permission to do it in your own life. Get the help you need. Get an accountability. Walk in a process. Go to counseling. Stop acting like it didn't hurt. Stop trying to think that if you just give it time, patience, it'll change the thing that failed you. They failed you. Time ain't gonna heal it. It's gonna be a process. This is good. And you're going to be able to see that as you walk this out, you'll be able to identify where you're at. Oh, I'm feeling pain. Oh, I'm being petty. Oh, I feel like a victim. Oh, man, I need to mature. And you can see what God's doing. See, because when people flagrant foul you, then they exploit you and they violate you, and it starts to mess with your thinking and your programming, what you need is a miracle. And the answer is not patience, a process. It's his presence. When you need a miracle, no amount of counseling is going to do it. When you need a miracle, when God has to go into a place in an area that people don't even know is there, you need his presence. The Bible tells us in Psalms, oh, I love the Bible, that you will show me the path. There goes the process again. You'll show me the process of life, the path of life in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There are some things that have happened to me that God says, you need a miracle. I said, God, I do need a miracle. He said, get in my presence. Fast. Cut off the TV. Don't go out. Spend time with me. What I'm supposed to do, just sit here? He said, if you sit there, I'll be here with you. Open that word. Put on that worship song. Sit in silence. Get in my presence. I'm whispering to you in a still, small voice. It's been so noisy around you. You've been distracting yourself. I'm calling you to a 2-day fast. Well, who else is fasting with me? Me. Me and you. It don't take nobody else for this. Don't post about it either. Don't get validation from the outside. I need you to do this one, just me and you. I need this to be something that you get in my presence, and in my presence, I'm going to give you a miracle. I'm going to change your programming. I'm going to take the areas that have been violated and I'm going to heal you. And I'm going to take your exploitation and I'm going to exploit you for my glory. I'm going to put you on a platform and bring people to me because of you. How do you know that, Pastor Mike? It's my testimony. Oh, y'all didn't know? It was in his presence where he qualified me. It was where he gave me a miracle. It's where he changed my programming that I could think different and be different and live different. And now I'm a mouthpiece for God all over the world because I realized that somebody had flagrantly fouled me and I was able to forgive them. Okay, let me give you the last piece of this. So what's the reaction when somebody frustrates me? When I have a reaction and I get maturity and patience, what I need to do is bounce back. Stop letting the littlest stuff take your day, take your peace, take your joy. Some of y'all scared to answer the phone because you think it's going to be something bad and something. Tell me something about bounce back. When the bad news come, I'm going to bounce back. Oh, and I'm going to bounce back. When they tell me something wrong, I'm going to bounce back. Whoa, I said, I'm going to bounce back. When everything is gone, I'm going to bounce back. Yo, I'm going to bounce back. When you know that I'm on, I'm going to bounce back. Whoa, I'm going to bounce back. When my baby mama tripping, I'm going to bounce back. Y'all don't hear me? Yeah, I'm going to bounce back. When my car don't drive no more, I'm going to bounce back. Yeah, I'm going to bounce back. When they lay me off my job, I'm going to. Whoa, I'm going to bounce back. When I don't feel good, I'm going to bounce back. I'm going to bounce back. I'm telling somebody that the spirit of bounce back is coming. 2020, you thought you threw your shot at me, but wait on me. I'm about to bounce back. I feel the presence of God in this place. If you don't get to the place where every offense is not created equal, I don't got to give all my energy to certain things that I could just bounce back from. Some of us are calling me, I need you to pray for me because somebody stole my makeup compact. Bounce back! Stop using effort and energy and prayer on stuff that don't even matter. That's too much for people. But it's time for the church to bounce back. People want to talk about me on social media. It don't matter. I'm going to bounce back. You want to leave the church and post about it? Cool. We going to bounce back. I'm just trying to let people know right now that there's a level of maturity that I can go through stuff. And because I'm patient, even if it's not good right now, God's working it out on my behalf. All things are working together. So as long as I'm patient and I show maturity, I won't be petty. And I'll realize that my value's not in them and what they say, but it's in him and who he says I am. So no matter the exchange, no matter the fault, no matter the frustration, I'm gonna bounce back. I feel that spirit of bounce back. I'm going to bounce back. Let me stop. Somebody need to do something with that. I'm going to bounce back. I don't even know. Okay. Here we go. Let's end it. When somebody fails you and they don't meet your expectation and you feel victimized and it's painful, you need ministry. And what ministry is the beginning of it, but then you need a process. And the reaction that you need to have is not bouncing back, but boundaries. Oh, this is good. Yeah. See, because when people fail you, it doesn't mean they're not going to fail you again. That's right. So what you need to do is realize what happened. You can forgive them for it, but then now we set new boundaries. You don't get to know this about me anymore. You don't get to come to this place in my life anymore. I have people that I'm accountable to, and you're not one of them because you failed me in this. I tried to talk to you. We tried to get it back together, but we can't do this anymore. So I don't have to dismiss you forever. I don't have to not like you no more, but I will set boundaries. There are people that are not in my life in the same way that they used to be in my life because they failed me. And once you fail me, I don't have to be stupid in forgiveness. Oh, God said I need to forgive, so let me put myself in a situation to get hurt again. No, I'm not doing that. I'm going to love you from a distance. I can set, everybody say this godly word, boundaries. And that's why with your family members, they're going to keep failing you until you set boundaries. They haven't done any of this work. They haven't tried to get free. They don't want to do forgiveness. And so you keep going to them expecting a different result, but you get the same thing. There's a definition for that. It's insanity. And so what God is saying to you, when people fail you and you go through a process, it is imperative that you set boundaries. I want to stay on that so long. Maybe that's next week because I need to show y'all how to actually walk in forgiveness and set up lanes that aren't things that trap you in but keep things out. We'll talk about that later. Oh, this is good. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So the flagrant foul, This is the last one. When they found you, when they did it on purpose, when it hurt you, and they didn't know what they were doing, but it messed you up. They exploited you. They violated you. It started messing with your thinking and your programming. What you need is a miracle. And the miracle of God comes in his presence. And the result and the reaction of that is what? It's either a breakup. Stay right there. Stay right there. When somebody flagrantly fouls you, you don't just need to have boundaries for some of these situations. Some of y'all need to break it up altogether. Now, I know no pastor would tell people this, but if you're in an abusive relationship right now and they violated you and you go in this cycle, well, they're the only one that's going to love me and the reaction either is going to be a breakup. Watch this one. A breakthrough. Or if you don't do anything, it's going to be a breakdown. I'm giving you the results right now that happen when you go through something like this. And I don't know where you are, but you should be able to find yourself right here. Are you breaking down? Are you breaking through? Are you breaking up? Because in his presence, he'll give you a miracle. And he'll change your programming. In every area you've been violated and exploited for the people who flagrantly fouled you. But there comes a result. And God began to tell me, he said, Michael, he said, people need to stop looking at the frame that they've either been born with, the frame they've been born with, the frame that they've been born with, the frame that the enemy tries to show them. He tries to sum me up with this little piece. I did do it, so this is who I am, right? This was a mistake. This is where I committed the flagrant foul. And it's not far enough to be able to see. Come in real close. You can't see my outfit. You can't see my haircut. You can't see anything when the enemy tries to frame what's happened so small. And God's saying, today, I want to fix your frame. I want to put down what the enemy has given you. And I want to give you a bigger frame than you even came into this world with. I want to give you a frame that gives you perspective to my grace. I want to give you a frame that's bigger than what you came in here with. And so much more with what the enemy has tried to sell you. I want to fix your frame. Today, I believe through this week, God is going to put a focus on some things that he wants to begin to identify where you're at on this forgiveness framework. And when you find where you're at, you got to see yourself through the frame of God. See, you don't need to settle, because in the frame of God, he says you're loved. He says you're chosen. He said that there's grace for you. In his framework, there's so much more than what society and family members have tried to pin you. You got to receive this. When he went to the cross, his words to all of us were, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And I love the Bible because it tells us there was one guy on the cross who was guilty. And he believed. Everybody say believed. He didn't have time for classes or a deliverance service. He was hanging on the cross with Jesus. And he said, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you can create a miracle. I believe that you can give me a bigger frame than how I lived my whole life. Today, while the other dude was mocking him, he said, I want to follow you. I want to believe in what you're saying. And Jesus, with his last breath, because he knew he was on the cross hanging for that man, he literally said to him, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Today, I'm trying to tell somebody right now, God's going to show you where the situations and issues are that was on that table. And now you have a process to be able to figure out what you need right now. Do I need ministry? Do I need maturity? Do I need a miracle? Do I need his presence? Do I need a process? Do I just need to have patience? And when he gives you what you're supposed to do, then I want you to listen and, watch this, obey. The frame of forgiveness. Today I want to pray for people who may have seen situations that have happened in your life come up in this scenario. And I dare you to write this whole chart out. Graphics team, I need us to get this up for people to be able to see. And I want you to print this off this week. And I want you like to name a situation with Billy, and figure out where you are in that situation. I want you to figure out situation with my boss, coworker. This is going to be real private, and I dare you to be hot, humble, open, and transparent. This is not something you showing everybody. This is something that you're doing in your private time so that you can start this path and this journey. And I'm telling you that God is going to help you this week, and next week I think I'm going to go deeper into this thing because God's given me a twist on this whole forgiveness thing that's going to help you. But I want you to come back here. We got 4 more weeks, but today God's saying, identify yourself. Hands lifted all over this building, all over the world. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Oh, I feel the work starting to happen right now. Thank you, Lord. Ah, I feel you, God. Thank you, Lord. Right now, even in this moment, come on, hands lifted. Yeah, I know this feels a little awkward, a little different, but right now God's coming to put light on the area that you need to ask for his help in. Father, right now, here we are, asking again for your help. Father, that's why we come to the hospital of humanity, the church, to get help from on high. And because of your grace, we can come to the throne boldly asking for what we need. Father, we need you to show us where we are and what we need to do, Father. And you're such a good God that you never require anything of us that you will not walk with us through. God, your word says that you give us the desire and the power to do what pleases you. So in this moment, in this time, in this moment, God, we're asking you to help us. Help us forgive every frustration, every flagrant foul, and every fail that has happened in our life, Father God. We want to be free, and we declare we will be free. Father, I declare that the crazy faith that is needed to forgive, that you are building a strength on the inside of us, that before 2020 is over, there will be massive change, massive deliverance, massive transformation that happens in my life and happens in Transformation Nation's life. You know them name by name and person by person. And today, Father God, we're getting a better understanding so that you can heal us from the inside out. We trust you, we believe you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name. In that same attitude right now, there may be somebody that's watching who's never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Your frame has been almost non-existent. Today, God wants to give you a new frame, a frame of grace, a frame of forgiveness, a frame that takes somebody like me that has committed flagrant fouls and had flagrant fouls committed against them. And he said, with all of that, with all your flaws, with all your mess ups, with being addicted to pornography, to being a manipulator, to doing the things you did to those people, he said, if you'll give it to me, I will turn all of these tragedies in your life into a testimony. And today God wants to give that to you. I don't know who you are, but I feel the Spirit of God that this is your moment. Today is the day of salvation. God is saying he wants to give you a new life, a new frame. But today you have to receive and accept him. So for everybody who wants to be a part of the family of Jesus Christ, that goes from not everything being perfect, but to progressing and having the one who created it all walking with you, today I want to pray with you. On the count of three, if you want to make sure your eternity is secure and make sure you have a process of walking out every day of your life, this is where it starts, with accepting Jesus. And on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I am so proud of you, but more than that, God is elated about your decision. Three, raise your hand all over this world. All over this world, I want you to raise your hand right now. Yep, 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 yep. And right now, you can put your hands down. You don't need to confess everything that you did to everybody around right now. God's saying that confession right now is about to make you go from being somebody who's been far from God to somebody who's close to God. And at Transformation Church, nobody prays alone. We're one big family. So right now, for the benefit of those who are praying this all over the world, on rebroadcast, watching 10 months later, I want us to pray this prayer together, because this is the thing that God hears. Everybody just lift your hands and say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. For every flagrant foul, for every fail, and for every frustration. Today, Father God, I give you my life. I believe you lived and you died just for me. And today, I'm asking you, change me, renew me, transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, can we give God praise all over the world for every person? Oh, come on, y'all can do better than that. This is why we exist, to see people transformed in Christ. And last week, there were hundreds of people that gave their life to Christ. And this week, I'm believing there'll be hundreds more. Listen, we want to walk with you. I want you to text the number that's on the screen right now. Nobody's going to hassle you or hound you. We're going to give you some resources to start your process. Do you see? I just prayed for you. Now we want to help you start your process. You can come back here next week. And I want you, some of you need to go back and watch this word again. Some of y'all who just started, go back and watch 1 through 5 and then watch 6 again. Because next week we're going up levels. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I'm telling you, week 7 is about to change it. Because I can't even tell you what I'm talking about next week. Just come back next week, okay? I love you. I believe that you will be able to forgive. This year you're going to get stronger with the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus. You got this. We got this. I love you. This week I want you to go out and live a transformed life. God bless you. What's going on, family? I wanted to come and personally tell you about something that is a tradition here at Transformation Church. At the end of every year, we bring our faith, our crazy faith, to an offering. We call it our end of the year offering. And what we do is we set aside a moment to ask God, hey, is there anything you want us to give? Give to this mission, this vision, this idea of representing God across the whole world. And literally for the past 6 years, we've been doing it, and it has been the catalyst for everything else that we've done as a church. We've been able to help end sex trafficking. We've been able to buy this building and pay for it in 5 months because of the generosity. The cameras that you are watching us on right now were because of somebody's crazy faith to give in an end of the year offering. I think back, and literally when the church first started, it was the faith of a few people, less than 300, who gave $80,000 that produced the cameras that are seeing so many. Over 19,000 salvations have come this year, but it started with the faith of somebody. And I want to ask you to partner with us. Join in, not giving an amount, asking God, is there something you want me to give? And I promise you, when you ask him, he'll speak to you. This is not about amounts. This is about growing in our faith. And I know that in a year where many of us would be tempted to hoard or keep or protect what we have, at Transformation Church, we move in generosity. We give just to give, not to get. We step out in faith. We believe in God, and we believe in miracles. And I believe that God right now is placing something on you and your family's heart, like he's doing for me and Natalie and our family. And we're all on December 6th gonna give in our crazy faith offering. I'm telling you, what I've seen God do in this season of the year has been something that will never, ever, nobody can ever convince me that God is not moving in this moment. And so I want you to join us. This is the step of faith that maybe you've been praying for. This is the step of faith that's going to prove that all the growth as we've gotten stronger this year actually has action in your life. And I'm so grateful, and I'm gonna be praying with you that whatever God says for you to give, you would obey. See, what we know is that obedience is better than any sacrifice we could give. And we're gonna move this thing together. So December 6th, Crazy Faith Offering, you can give, and I'm so excited to see what God does in this church as we represent him to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. God bless you.